Likutei Moran, Torah Reish Dalet. Mailas Hatzdokah Yodua. The value and importance of the mitzvah of tzedakah, charity, is well known. Bifrat, especially kishnenoisnim leTalmud Chacham, when the charity is given to a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, kemuva, as is brought in the Zohar Kodesh, shamois shenoisna Talmud Chacham hu bechinas tamcho yoraisa, that the money that's given to support a Torah scholar is referred to as Tamche Oiraisa, the support for the Torah. Avol Be'emes, however, in truth, Ze Hamois Shenoisna Talmud Chacham Hu Bechinas Torah Mamish. The money that a person gives to a Talmud Chacham is not just supporting Torah, but it's considered like Torah itself. Ve'ein aveiro yochoy lechabois ze hamois shenois l'talmud chacham. And a sin does not have the ability to extinguish, to cancel out the value of the money that's given to a Talmud Chacham. Ki ein aveiro mechabe toira, kemoishom raboisenu zal. Because as the Gemara says in Sota, an aveiro cannot extinguish Torah. The light of Torah and the power of the study of Torah is so powerful that a sin cannot extinguish it. V'zeh hamois hu bechinas Torah mamish. And this money that's being given to support a Talmud Chacham is considered literally like Torah. V'zeh mo'ois roshei tevois ve'ein aveira mechabe Torah. And this is why the Hebrew word for money, which is ma'ois, makes up the first letters of this quotation from the Gemara, ve'ein aveira mechabe Torah, that a sin cannot extinguish the power of Torah. Vo'oid yesh be'inyin ze dvorim harbe. Rav Nosson Zal says that regarding this topic, there's a lot to say, there's a lot more. Ki bo'eis shegil ezois, because when Rabbeinu Zal revealed this chiddush, Siper Eze Maise Binyan Ze, he told over a story regarding this. However, we only were privileged to write down these words that we presented here. Now, in the Sefer Chaim Oran, it does mention what the story was that Rabbeinu Zal told at the time. He said that there were two young men that were close friends, and a short while after they both got married, they were being supported by their fathers-in-law, as was the custom in those days. And one of the two saw his friend committing a sin. And he was surprised. Then a while later, he saw the friend committing another sin, a worse sin. And he realized that his friend, who he thought was a Talmud Chacham like him, he realized that he's actually a sinner. And he decided he's not going to have anything to do with him. And during this time, their fathers-in-law were supporting them. A while later, it came time for them to support themselves, and they went out to work. The one who committed the sins became very wealthy, and the other one became very poor. And it always bothered him, why should it be this way? I saw with my own eyes, I saw him committing sins. Why should he be wealthy and I'm poor? And he was questioning in his mind the justice from Hashem. One evening, the poor person had a dream. And in his dream, he saw a group of men carrying large sacks of coins, of money. So he started approaching them, and they warned him, don't touch any of this money. It belongs to him, the one who was your former friend. So he decided this is his opportunity to ask the question. And he said, why? Why should he have all of this money, all of this wealth, when I saw with my own eyes that he's a sinner and I'm so poor? And they said to him, the reason is because from the day that each and every one of you will no longer be being supported by your fathers-in-law, he always set aside time for learning Torah. He was koveya itin for Torah, whereas you didn't. Even though you were more careful about committing sins, but you didn't set aside any time for the study of Torah. Therefore, he's worthy of riches despite this, the major sin that he committed, because a sin can extinguish good deeds, but it cannot extinguish the power of Torah. And again, this was to emphasize the incredible importance of being koveya itim la Torah. A person, this is not giving a permit to commit sins, chas v'shalom, but rather letting us know that a person who commits himself to the study of Torah, or a person who zocheh to use his charity money specifically to support Talmidei Chachamim, that has incredible power. That even a sin, even a transgression, will not be able to take away that credit. Any questions?
A sin, an aveira, does not negate a sin. How do we understand the scales of justice? When we're balancing our aveiras against our mitzvahs and our good deeds?
The answer is, it's definitely not a one-to-one ratio. We've mentioned this in the past, that ma'at min ho'or doicha har bechoshech, that a little bit of light can dispel a large amount of darkness. The ratio of good to bad is not a one-to-one ratio. However, the Torah does tell us that every sin is different, every mitzvah is different. There are certain mitzvahs which have incredible, incredible reward associated with them. And there are other mitzvahs there are mitzvahs that are called kala and mitzvahs that are called chamura, more strict, less strict. There are sins that are more severe, less severe. There are sins that qualify for a death penalty from the court on earth. There are sins that qualify for a death penalty up in heaven. There's tremendous variety involved. And we are told, there's a pasuk that we mentioned, im yesh olav malach echod, melitz midi elef, that if there is one defending angel out of 1,000, pedo'eyu mirede shachas, that can save a person, chas v'shalom, from going down to Gehenna. The Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh and all the holy Sfarim give us some insights as to some of the mitzvahs, how powerful they are, and again, on the opposite end, some of the averos, how severe, how serious they are. Sure. In this next chapter, we're going to be addressing one of the very serious sins. Torah Resh Hei, chapter 205, Rabbeinu Zal says, Tikkun lemikrei laila, the rectification, in order to correct the damage that's done by mikra laila, which means when a person has an emission of seed during the night, it's called a nocturnal emission, loimar asoro kapitel tehillim bo'isa yoim she'ira lo chas v'shalom. The tikkun is, the correction is, to recite 10 chapters of Tehillim on the day, on that day that this emission occurred during the night before. Ki yesh koyach ba'amiras Tehillim lohoitzi hatipo mehaklipo shelokhoiso. Because reciting Tehillim has the power to extract and remove the droplet, the seed, from the klipa, from the forces of evil that captured it. When a person commits any type of sin of pegama bris, or when a person has chas v'shalom this mikra laila, the seed that comes out is captured by the forces of evil, by the klipois and tuma, and it gives them strength and power. And Rabbeinu Zal says that by reciting 10 chapters of Tehillim, that helps extract the seed from them, from these forces of evil. Ki Tehillim bigematria lil im hachamesh oisiyos shel shmo. Because the word Tehillim has the numerical value of 485, which is equal to the numerical value of the angel called Lil, Lamed Yud Tov. We don't want to pronounce the whole name. The numerical value of that angel's name is 480. Im hachamesh oisiyos, adding the 5 letters of its name, Shehi hamemuna al zeh. This angel is appointed over this item, over mikra laila, over pegama bris. This angel is referred to as if it's a female angel that tries to entice a man, sometimes during his sleep, to become aroused and to release seed. and Chas V'Shalom cause this pigam, this mikra laila. V'tzorich lechavein b'shas amiras tehillim, and a person is supposed to have in mind when he's reciting these 10 chapters of Tehillim, she'tehillim b'gematria tof pei hei, that the word Tehillim has a numerical value of 485, shehu mechuvon kemispar hashnei shemois kel elokim b'meluoi, which is the same numerical value as the two names of Hashem, Kel and Elohim, when they're written out in their full form, when each letter is spelled as a word. Kozeh, as we see here, the Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Pei, the way it's pronounced. Lamed, Lamed Mem Dalid. That's Kel, which is a total of 185. And then you have Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, Lamed Lamed Mem Dalid, Hey Yud, Yud Vav Dalid Mem Mem, which is the Mili of Elohim, which together equals 485, like the gematria of the word Tehillim, Shalidei Ashnei Shemo Yiselu Yoitzo Hatipo Meaklipo. And through the power of these two names of Hashem, this helps extract the droplet, the seed, from the forces of Tuma in which it's found. Ki Hatipo Hi Bechinas Chesed Ugvura Kayadua. Because the seed, this droplet, is an aspect of kindness and judgment, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. Ki yesh bo koyach eish umayim, because it's a combination of two forces coming together, fire, the passion, the heat, during which a person emits this seed, and mayim, it's also a liquid, chamimus velachus, warmth and moisture and wetness. Shehem bechinas chesed u'gvura, which in the spheroids are represented by right and left, chesed and gvura. V'validei hashnei shemois kel elokim anal, and by activating these two names of Hashem, kel and elokim, shehem bechinas chesed u'gvura kayadua, these two names represent chesed and gvura. We know there's a pasuk in Tehillim, chesed kel kol hayoim, that Hashem's name Kel represents Chesed, and Elohim is usually Hashem's name for judgment. Elohim is a judge or judgment, Gvura. Through these two names of Hashem, Al Yidei Zeh, which are begematria, the word Tehillim, Al Yidei Zeh Moitzien Hatipo Mishon. This enables us to remove that seed from the forces of Tumah which have captured it, and this is what the person has to have in mind when they're reciting these 10 chapters. These 10 chapters are referred to as Tikkun HaKloli, and in many of the newer editions of Tikkun HaKloli, they print this in front of the 10 chapters. They print these two names of Hashem, and they mention there to have this in mind when you're starting to recite these chapters of Tehillim, and this gematria of Tehillim, in order to add power to the spiritual light that's coming from the chapters of Tehillim that the person is reciting. V'yalkein tzorich loymar asoro kapitel. And now we'll understand why a person has to recite 10 chapters of Tehillim. Ki yesh asoro mine zimra. Because there are 10 types of song. Shehem bechinas asoro ho asoro l'shoinois shenemar bohem sefer Tehillim kamuva, which correspond to the 10 styles, the 10 expressions by which the book of Tehillim is made up of, as is brought in the Gemara in Psachim, page 118, and also the first Rashi in Tehillim quotes that Gemara, that Tehillim is comprised of 10 types of song, Shehem, which are Ashrei, V'lamnatzeach, Maskil, Halleluka, etc., etc. Ayin Bepirush Rashi. Take a look at that first Rashi in Tehillim, which lists the 10 types. V'yesh koyach b'chol loshein v'loshein shol hasor l'shoinesanal levatel koyach hakliponal. And each one of these 10 types of song has the power to eliminate, to weaken and defeat the forces of Tuma that interact with this seed. Because each one of these 10 types of song is the opposite of, the antithesis of this klipa, this force of tumah that's associated. And now Rabbeinu Zal gives us some examples. Ki Ashrei, one of the 10 types of song is Ashrei, hu loshen re'ia. The word Ashrei in Hebrew means fortunate, and the word Lashur also means to look at. Re'ia v'histaklus, looking carefully at something. Hepech ha-klipa, which is the opposite of the klipa, the forces of tumah, she'ikar koicha mikilkul harois, where these forces of tumah are empowered when the vision is messed up, when a person looks at what they're not supposed to look at, when there's a pigam in Re'ia. Mibchinas, as it says by Yitzhak Avinu, that when he became old, it says, Vatecheno Einov Meirois, his eyes became weak from being able to see. Bibchinas, Yehi Ba'oirois Choser, as we find when Hashem first created the world, and he declared, let there be lanterns in the sky, he used the word Ma'oirois, and the word Ma'oirois is spelled missing a vav. The vav that should be between the aleph and the resh is missing. And therefore, it could be read as the word me'oras, which means a curse. And the Gemara says, V'dosh Rabbi Seinuzal, do lil, that this refers to this curse, this light that's missing, is represents this angel lil. Nimtza, she'ikar koicha mikilkul hara'iyah. So we see, therefore, that this angel, her main strength comes from a spoilage of vision, a lack of being able to see properly. The Ashrei, shehu loshen re'ia, hi hepech mimena. And therefore, the term Ashrei, which is one of the 10 types of song that comprise Tehillim, is the opposite of this angel. V'chein maskil. And so too, the term maskil, which is one of the 10 types of song, we know is also the opposite of the klipa. Ki hi bechinas mishakel. Because this klipa, this lil, is associated with a person who's mourning, in a state of bereavement. O maskil hu hepech mizeh. Whereas maskil, to be enlightened, is the opposite of this bereavement. Ve'inyin zeh ayin b'mokam acher. Rabbeinu Zal says, if you want more detail on this, look at a different chapter of Likut Imran, chapter 19, in the first half of Likut Imran, where there Rabbeinu Zal goes much more into detail regarding maskil and meshakel. Ki ikar koicho lahachties ha'odom b'mikro chas v'sholem hu al yidei loshen targum. There in chapter 19, Rabbeinu Zal explains that there's, on one extreme, there's loshen kodesh, there's the Hebrew language, which is called holy. On the other extreme, we have the languages of the goyim, of the other nations, and in between, we have Targum. Targum is Aramaic, which is sort of an intermediary between the languages of the goyim and Lashon Kodesh. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there that the Tumah cannot access the holiness directly. It can only access it via this intermediary, via this Targum. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, ki ikar ahoy koicho lahachti esodom emikro chas v'shom, hua yidei loshen targum. The main ability of the klipa to cause a person to commit this type of sin, this nocturnal emission, is through the language of targum, shehu bechinas maskil al yidei turgaman. We know that the Pasuk says that this term of maskil, this enlightenment, comes via a translator. A meturgamon. The word turgamon is miloshen targum. And targum, we're told, shehu ma'urav toivora. Targum is something that's a mixture of good and evil. Lefa'omim mishakel, ulefa'omim maskil. Sometimes it's the negative side, the bereavement, and sometimes it's maskil, the enlightenment. Ayin Shem, look over there in chapter 19 in Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this much more. This is one of the reasons why when we make the transformation, when we go from weekday to Shabbos, from unholiness to holiness, we say Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. We recite the Chumash, we say the Hebrew version twice, and the Targum once. This is in order to weaken the negative side of the Targum and elevate the holy, the good aspect of the Targum and integrate it into the holiness. V'chein Halleluka. And so too we know that one of the 10 types of song is Halleluka. Hepech HaKlipa. That's the opposite, the antithesis of the Klipa, Sheshmo Lil, whose name is Lil. Lil means to wail, to whine and mourn. And Halleluka means to sing with joy and happiness. Al Shem Shehi Mialeles Bialola Tonin, because this Klipa is constantly wailing and whining and mourning. V'Halel Hepech Yalola. And the word Hallel, the term Hallel, is the opposite of Yilola. We say Halleli Elokayach Tzion. Halleli is the opposite of Yilola. Ki oisi ois Halleli heim hepet Yilola. V'hashar loy pirish. Rabbi Nosson Zal says that in this shir, Rabbi Nosson Zal only discussed these four or five types of song. He didn't elaborate on the other ones. Later on, in the second half of Likut Imran, towards the end, we're going to have a chapter there where Rabbi Nosson goes into it a little bit more. Now Rabbi Nosson adds another point. Gam hatipo bo mehadas. We know that this seed, this droplet, originates from the brain. Shehu bechinas chesed ugvura. Das is a combination of chesed and gvura, kanal, as we saw earlier. This is something that's brought in the writings of the Arizal, that Das is a combination of Chochma and Bina. Chochma is on the right side, Chochma is on the side of Chesed, Bina is on the left side, on the side of Gvura. And Das is the union of both. We find that when Adam and Chava came together, it says, Vayeda Adam es Chava Ishtoi. V'yadua, and it's known, Shehadas hu bechinas chamisha chasodim v'chamisha gvurois. The Das is the combination of five measures of Chesed and five measures of Gvura. Alkein, Sorech Loimar, Asorah Kapitel. And this is another reason why we need 10 chapters of Tehillim corresponding to these five units of Chesed and five units of Gvura, which make up Das. V'zeh Bechinas, with this we could also understand the opening sentence in the second chapter of Tikkun HaKloli. LeDavid Maskil, Ashrei Nesui Pesha, that this is an aspect of Dovid HaMelech, who is a Maskil, he's enlightened. Ashrei Nesui Pesha, fortunate is the person for whom Hashem forgives his sins. The first letters of Ashrei Nesui Pesha, Rosh Tevois Niuf, make up the word Niuf, which means adultery, Pegama Bris. Shehu nichna al yidei bechinas ledovid maskil, which is defeated, this pigama bris, this niuf, is eliminated through ledovid maskil, through the enlightenment of Tehillim, of David HaMelech, the Hainu Tehillim, which is the book of Tehillim. Now, Rabbi Nosson Zal adds, achar kach gilo Rabbeinu Zal ho asora kapitel Tehillim beprotius. After Rabbeinu Zal said this, he revealed which specific 10 chapters he's referring to. Shetzorech la'omram ba'oisoy hayoim sheikra lechasashon mikra bilti torah, which a person should recite on the day during which they experience this mikra laila on the night before. Ve'eluhein, these are the 10 chapters. Michtam Ledovid, chapter 16. Ledovid Maskil, chapter 32. Ashrei Maskil Eldol, chapter 41. Ka'ayol Taro Galafike Moim, chapter 42. Lamnatseach Al Tashcheis, chapter 59. Lamnatseach Al Yedusun, La'os of Mizmor. Tfila Lamoshe, chapter 90. Hoidu Lashem Kiru Vishmoi, chapter 105. Al Naharois Bovel, chapter 137. And finally, the last one, Halleluko Hallelukel Bekotshoi, chapter 150, the last chapter of Tehillim. The Omar and Rabbi Nosson said, She'elu hu asora kapitel Tehillim, heim tikun godol me'oid me'oid lemikra chas v'shon. That reciting these 10 chapters Tehillim is a major, major correction and rectification of the damage that's caused by this type of an emission of seed. Umi she'zoich lo'omra bo'isa ayoim, And a person who's zoche to say it on the day during which it occurred, ein tzorech lifchoid oid klal mi pegam hanoira shel hamikra, does not have to be troubled or afraid at all anymore of the major damage, the terrible blemish that's caused by this mikra, ki bevadayin estakein al yidei zeh, because it has definitely been corrected through the reciting of these 10 chapters of Tehillim. Now, Rabbeinu Zal said that there were tzaddikim who tried to search for this. They tried to search for the formula by which a person could correct Pegama Bris, and especially the most serious forms of Pegama Bris. We know that in Pegama Bris, there are sinful thoughts, chas v'shalom. There's speaking to women when a person shouldn't be, or speaking excessively, and there's sins that a person commits in action. A person could commit a sin with a non-Jewish woman, with a woman who's forbidden to him, with a woman who's impure at the time. And this sin, where a person wastes seed, chas v'shalom, where the seed does not enter into a body, but rather the seed goes to waste, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, in some ways is worse than all the others, because it's more difficult to correct. When the seed goes into a body, even though it's a treif body, a wrong body, it can be corrected. It's extremely difficult. It takes major tshuva, major tikkun and everything, but it can be corrected more easily than chas v'shalom when the seed is wasted. This term zera levatolam. And in this also, we know that there are two forms. There's when it happens to a person accidentally at night during the person's sleep. And then there's chas v'shalom, where a person brings this upon themselves. They cause this. The term masturbate. And there are differences of opinion among the tzaddikim in Breslov, whether Rabbeinu Zal was referring only to Nikra Laila, where it's accidental, or even if a person chas v'shalom caused this to happen intentionally. It's brought that Reb Pinchas Koritzer, who was older than Rabbeinu Zal, and he lived a little bit before Rabbeinu Zal's time, he came upon the revelation that 10 chapters of Tehillim is the formula, but he didn't know which 10. Rabbeinu Zal said that Hashem helped him, that he was zoche to achieve the revelation to know exactly which 10 chapters of Tehillim. When Rabbeinu Zal first spoke about this, he didn't mention a specific 10. He just said 10 chapters of Tehillim, implying any 10. Reciting any 10 chapters of Tehillim have this power. But years later, 4 or 5 years later, Rabbeinu Zal went ahead and said it's these specific 10 chapters. Now we know that right now we're in the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch that during the days of Elul, during the times of Tshuva, a Jew should try to recite 10 chapters of Tehillim a day. So we know this concept of 10 chapters of Tehillim is something powerful, very powerful, which enables a Jew to complete the entire book of Tehillim twice in 1 month. There's 150 chapters altogether, 15 days, 15 times 10 is 150. In a month, a person would complete the Sefer Tehillim twice. And 2 times 150 is Begimatria Kaper. Kaper means to forgive, to be forgiven, to be atoned. Any questions?
So you recommend that we do that, read the 10 chapters on each day, starting from the beginning, or should we just do the Tikkun HaKlali?
The answer is that both are very good. The Tikkun HaKlali, it is a custom among many Breslovers to recite Tikkun HaKlali on a daily basis. That's number one. As far as Tehillim is concerned, there are different customs. My rabbi, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, instituted in our shul that we recite 5 chapters of Tehillim every day after Shacharis, and thereby complete the whole Tehillim once a month, at least to go through the whole book of Tehillim once a month. But there are people who have different customs. My rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, used to go through the entire book of Tehillim twice a week, once during the 6 days of the week, and then again the entire book of Tehillim on Shabbos. Each person should try to do what they can, but Rabbeinu Zal mentions Tehillim in a number of places in Likut Imran, and he stresses that it's extremely helpful to enable a person to do tshuva, to enable a person to come close to Hashem. What I wanted to add before is that Rabbeinu Zal says in another place that it's also very good and very important if a person can go to the mikveh on the day that such a thing occurs, to go to the mikveh and then recite the 10 chapters. But even if a person can't, at least to say the 10 chapters, and even if it's not that day, it still has a major important effect.
It's a Tehillim versus learning Torah, Talmud Torah, Kinnik, Kulam. How do we balance that? When and how and how much and all of that?
The answer is by studying the holy books and watching the Talmidei Chachamim, Shimush Chachamim. My rabbis in Breslov, all of them, Rav Rosenfeld, Rav Michal Dorfman, Zachron Avrocha, Rav Moshe Burstein, Rav Nachman Burstein, they spent quality time learning Torah. Rabbeinu Zal starts the Likutei Moran. The opening line of the Likutei Moran is, you should know that it's through the study of Torah that a person's prayers are accepted by Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal put tremendous emphasis on Limud HaTorah. He also put major emphasis on Tehillim. And a person can do both. You know, I saw with my rabbis that there is time in the day to do both. A person should devote, you know, quality time to learning, but and also to have a Seder in Tehillim and Tikkun HaKloli. The Gemara says that Dovid HaMelech was mispalel to Hashem. He pleaded with Hashem that his book of Tehillim should be so respected and beloved by Hashem that a person reciting Tehillim should be given the same credit as a person studying the complex Mishnayos of Negoyim and Oholois, of Taros, which are very difficult Mishnas. So here again, Tehillim is not something to be taken lightly. And interestingly enough, we see this all over the world, but especially living in Yerushalayim, I go to the Kotel very often, and I'm there many times at midnight, and I see groups of yeshiva students coming very often during the night, during the day, reciting Tehillim with a minyan or a whole yeshiva reciting Tehillim. Whenever there's any type of emergency, the Rosh Yeshiva is sick, somebody's parent is sick or something like that, they pull out the Tehillims. In other words, it's a known item in Klal Yisrael that this is a very important holy book that should not be cast aside. It shouldn't be left out from a person's repertoire. A person has to try very hard to use the time properly during the day and not to waste time. And then a person will find usually, especially if they operate with Seder, if they're Koveya Itim, if they set fixed times for learning, for davening, they'll be able to have quality time for both. And they'll get the tremendous benefits that a person gets from both. Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos that we see that when it comes to Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, even the Litvisha, even the Lamdim, are spending much more time on Tefillah than any other time during the year. And usually much more time on Tefillah than Torah. On Yom Kippur, everyone is in shul most of the day davening. So Tefillah is a very important part of Yiddishkeit. Torah is also very important. We've mentioned in the past that there are different levels. When a person is davening for Gashmias, if he's davening for Gashmias for the sake of Gashmias alone, that tefillah is not so impressive to Hashem. Person just saying, give me food, give me a car, give me this, give me that, so that I can enjoy it. When a person is davening for Gashmias in order to study Torah or in order to fulfill the Torah, Hashem, please give me money so that I could learn Torah, so that I could pay tuition for my children to learn Torah, so that I could buy an esrig or lulav for this thing. That type of tefillah is special, but it's subservient to Torah. Now, that what makes it important is that the person is asking for gashmias to use for the sake of Torah. But when a person is praying purely for ruchnias, when a person says, Hashem, please give me yirah shamayim, please give me ahavas Hashem, please give me tikkun amidos, that tefillah is considered equal to and even superior to Torah. Rav Nosson Zal discusses this in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Halacha Dalet or Halacha Hey, I believe he has a beautiful discussion on this topic. The next chapter Reish Vav 206, Dovid HaMelech says to Hashem, this is the last line of chapter 119 in Tehillim, which in certain respects is like the holiest chapter in Tehillim. It has the entire Aleph Beis 8 times, 8 sentences for each letter of the Aleph Beis. And the last line, Dovid HaMelech says to Hashem, To'isi kiseh oyved, Hashem, I've strayed from you like a lost sheep. Bake shavdecha, please seek out your servant. Ki mitzvoisecha lo shachachti, because I haven't yet forgotten your mitzvois. This is Dovid HaMelech speaking about himself to Hashem with such humility. He refers to himself as a lost sheep. And this Torah we'll see is related to what we learned in the previous Torah about the significance of a person doing tshuva immediately, the same day as they committed the sin. Ki yesh chiluk godol ba'aveira sho'isa otom chas v'sholem beinim nisoyra tekef u'miyad v'shov b'tshuva. There's a major difference regarding a sin that a person commits chas v'sholem if the person becomes aroused immediately to repent for it, to regret it, and to do tshuva. Azai efshaloi bekal lachzor lemekoymoi. Then it's relatively easy for the person to get back to his original place. Ki adayin loy nisrachek harbe me'aderech hatoiv. Because the person hasn't yet moved far away from the good path that he was on originally. Ki kishoise chas averech chas v'shon. Because when a person commits a sin, azai choylech venoite mehaderech hayosher el derech acher mekulkol, then the person is straying, he's turning away from the straight path that he was on originally and going on to a crooked path. Veshom yoitzin meoisoi haderech kama vekama nesivoi sudrochim toyim mekulkolamoi. And once a person gets onto that crooked path, it doesn't finish there. That path splits out into other paths and other paths and other paths, and the person gets lost, fablunjit, where it's extremely difficult to find his way back. When a person starts traveling on that path of evil, azai toyim unevoichim be'elu adrochim, then the person ends up straying and getting confused on this big labyrinth of paths of evil that extend from it, ad shekoshe lo shuv lo tzeis mishum, to the point where it becomes very difficult to return and get out of there. It's like he's lost in a maze. Avla shemisporach darkoi likrois esodom tekev kisheroye shutoye miderech hasechel. However, the way that Hashem operates is that Hashem calls out to the person immediately when Hashem sees that the person is starting to go off the right path, off the path of intellect. The koiroi, and Hashem calls out to the person, sheyoshuv lachoyrov, go back, return. Ulechol echod koiroi lefi b'chinosoi, and Hashem calls out to each and every person in their own way. Yesh shekoiroi b'remiza, there are some people where Hashem calls out to them by hint, sending them a hint. Ve'yesh b'kriya mamish, and there are some people who Hashem actually calls out and says, hey you, come over here. Not literally that, but in a much more clear, obvious way. Ve'yesh sheboyet boy umakehu, and there are some people who Hashem gives them a kick and punch. Hashem gives them a good beating to bring him back to reality, to bring him back to the righteous path. V'zeh ha'kriya shaloi, and that's how Hashem calls out to that person. Ki oiraiso machrezes kamayhu, because the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Torah calls out to the person, ad mosai psoyim tehovui pesi, how long will you fools love being foolish, the foolishness? V'ha'Torah hu Hashem yisborach bi'atzmoi. When the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Torah calls out to the person, the Torah is Hashem himself. Shehu koire yosam, he's the one who's calling out to them, umevaksham shiachsu elov, and he's pleading with them, he's seeking them, asking them to return to him. We know there's a famous expression in the Zohar Kodesh, Kutche Berichu, Vo'eraisa, V'Yisroel Chadhu. Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. Vadayin, and therefore, Kishadayin, Lo Yinoto Harbe Miderach HaYosher, when the person hasn't yet strayed far away from the righteous path, Azai Efshaloi Bekal Lo Shuv. At that point, it's pretty easy for the person to come back. Because he recognizes that voice that's calling out to him, that's saying, come back. He recognizes that voice. Because not so long ago, this person was close to Hashem. And he was listening and hearing the sound of the Torah, the sound of Hashem. He hasn't yet forgotten that sound. And the person hasn't yet strayed so far that he got lost in that maze of paths and everything that took him way, way off the track. And therefore, at that point, it's pretty easy for the person to return. This is like the parable regarding a shepherd, Shekasher se echot toyame aderech, whereby when one of the sheep gets separated from the flock and it starts straying, Azai takef hu koireyosoy. The shepherd immediately calls out to the sheep. He whistles or he calls out to it. Ukeshase adain loy toa harbe me aderech. If the sheep hasn't yet wandered far away from where the other sheep are from the path, Azai hu makira koil, then the sheep recognizes that sound, v'hoylech achrof tekef, and immediately comes back, immediately follows the sound. Aval kishikvar noto harbe me'aderech, however, if the sheep has become separated from the flock for a long time, and it's moved far away, azai kvar shokach es hakoil ve'eino makir boy, at that point, the sheep has forgotten the sound of the whistle or the voice of the shepherd. He doesn't recognize it anymore. And in addition, the shepherd gives up from searching for the sheep because it's such a long time that the sheep is not there. He figures, forget about it. Because it's been such a long time since that sheep left and went away. Cain, so too. When a person, chas v'shalom, has spent a long period of time committing sins, and he's wandered away and strayed far away from the righteous path, into those other paths which are confused and messed up in all kinds of different ways, azai kosheloi lo shuv. At that point, it's difficult for the person to come back. Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'dai, you should know, she'elu hadrochim hamikulkolin v'atoyim. These paths that are misleading and messed up, kishe'odom toya bahem, when a person chas v'shalom gets lost and strays in these messed up paths, chas v'shalom, harbe moed, a lot, for a long time, efsher lefa'omim she'yisse moed, it's possible sometimes for the person to get so lost and so far away from their original path, v'yelech be'elu adrochman avoichim, v'azai daiko me'roiv to'use behem, and as a result of the person keeping moving away, yishapech v'yoshuv, the person ends up making a U-turn, 180-degree turn, and coming back, at sheyis somuch moed lemekoymoy harishoyim, to the point where the person finds themselves being very close to where they originally started out from, the good path. V'loyir rak herchik ma'at beinoy levein mekoymoy harishoyim, and there's only a small distance separating him from where he is now to his original path, the good path. And at that point, very easily, al yidei nisoyon kal, by passing a small test, oid lemekoymoi. Ubekal al yidei nisoyon kal, yoshuv oid lemekoymoi. The person could end up returning to their original place, to their original level. However, when Hashem calls out to the person, umazmin loy hanisoyin, and Hashem arranges the test for the person, einoy makir bekoil, the person no longer recognizes Hashem's voice, ve'einoy choyshe shloshuva mekoymoi, and the person isn't thinking at all about going back to their original place. It's been such a long time, they forgot completely what it was like to be religious, what it was like to be good. V'zehu hachiluk shebein ul yamim lezokein. And this is the difference between a young person and an older person. Kimi shadayin bebachrusoi, because a person who is still in their youth, v'adayin lo yhizkin bachatov, they haven't yet grown old in their sins. It hasn't become something that they're very used to and they've been doing it for a long time. Efshelo yoyser loshuv. It's easier for the younger person to return, to come back. Mehazokin, for the person who's become old in their sins. Machmashadayin husamuch, because he's still close by, near his original place. He hasn't yet forgotten the sound of Hashem calling out to him. So when Hashem sends him a hint or a message or whatever it is, he recognizes, he stops to think, hey, maybe Hashem is reaching out to me. Maybe Hashem's trying to tell me something. And this is what's included in what David HaMelech says. Toisi kise oived. Hashem, I've strayed like a lost sheep. Hainu shetoisi me'aderech hayoshor kese oived hanoita me'aderech hanal. I've strayed from the righteous path like a sheep who's got lost and separated from the flock. Al kein ani shoyel mufonecho. Therefore, I beg of you, Hashem, I ask of you, bakei shavdecho, seek me out, Hashem, ki mitzvoisecho loy shechochti, because I haven't yet forgotten your mitzvois. Hainu shetemaher levaksheni, meaning, Hashem, hurry up and seek me out. Kolzman shani zoicher adayin es hakol akriya shel Torah mitzvos. So long as I still remember and recognize the sounds of the Torah, the sounds of the mitzvos. Vezehu bakei shavdecho ki mitzvoisecho loy shechochti. And this is what's meant, seek out your servant because I have not forgotten your mitzvos. Shetemaher levaksheni takeif. Hashem, hurry up, seek me out immediately. Ki mitzvoisecho loy shechochti adayin, because I haven't yet forgotten your mitzvos. V'adayin ani makir es koil hakriya shel mitzvos. I still recognize the sound of that calling of the mitzvos, which is the Torah. Al kein, therefore, bakoshosi, my request is, shetarachim olai, that you should have pity on me. Levaksheni mehera miyad, to seek me out quickly, immediately. Kolzman shadayin lo shechachti es mitzvoisecho. So long as I haven't forgotten the mitzvos, the hainu shadayin ani makir es koil hakriya shel Torah mitzvos, meaning that I still recognize that sound of the calling of the Torah and the mitzvos. There's a famous story about World War II, that there were many parents who, in order to save the lives of their children, when they found out what the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were doing, they gave their children into a monastery. They figured at least the kids will be alive, and maybe somehow, someday, they'll find their way back to Judaism. So after the war was over, one of the great rabbis remembered this, and he went to these monasteries searching for the Jewish children. He came to one monastery where he knew that there were many Jewish kids. And he came there and he approached them and said that he'd like to take out the kids, the Jewish kids. They said there are no Jewish kids here at all. And he knew that they were lying. So he brought a government official with him. And he said to the government official what was going on. The government official said, burden of proof is on you. He said, okay, allow me to see the children, to be in the room with all of these children. So sure enough, they agreed. And these children had been separated from their parents for 6 months, a year, 2 years, some of them, but they were 5 years old, 4 years, 6 years old, this rabbi went into the room and he looked at the children and he saw Jewish faces. He knew there were definitely Jewish kids there. He put his hand over his eyes and he said, "Repeat after me, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." All the Jewish kids remembered that. They remembered that calling. They remembered that they had been taught as a child. One of the first things that a parent teaches a Jewish child is Shema Yisrael. They immediately raised their hands and said Shema Yisrael. And this was clear proof. It was 100% obvious that these were Jewish children. This is this Toisi Keseoiveid. Ki kishechas v'sholom ha'odom niskan b'chaton. Because Rabbi Nazal says, if chas v'sholom, a person grows old in their sinful ways, kosher ma'oid levakshoi, it becomes very hard to seek out that person, to bring them back. Ki kvar shokach es ha'koil ha'toyra v'mitzvois. Because the person has already forgotten the sweet sound of Torah and mitzvahs, ve'enoi makir b'koil ha'kriya, they don't recognize it anymore. Al kein tzorech ha'odom levakesh mi'ashem isporach. Therefore, a person has to beg Hashem, sheyemaher Hashem isporach levakshei lachzir eilav, that whenever I stray chas v'sholom, whenever I go off the right path, Hashem, please hurry and seek me out to bring me back. So long as I haven't yet forgotten completely the sound of Torah and mitzvahs. This was the request of Dovid HaMelech. It's brought that Rabbeinu Zal once was asked by a young boy if he could teach him how to have his spoidedus. So Rabbeinu Zal taught him this Torah. He taught him about begging Hashem, pleading with Hashem, seek me out. And a short while later, that boy overheard Rabbeinu Zal in his Hispoidus, and Rabbeinu Zal was saying these same words. This is when Rabbeinu Zal had already reached incredible heights, unbelievable heights, in Kiddusha, in Torah, and everything. And he followed the example, the lead of Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech is one of the four legs of the throne of Hashem. And yet, Dovid HaMelech, when he stands before Hashem, he refers to himself as Se'oivei Hashem. I stray, I wander. Please call me, bring me back. Hurry, hurry, before it's too late, Chas V'Shem. We'll hold it over here for now. This week we have Yom Kippur, Yitz Hashem, and next Sunday will be Erev Sukkos. Next Sunday we will not have the Shira Yitz Hashem. I hope Yitz Hashem will resume after the Yontif of Sukkos is when we'll resume the Shira Yitz Hashem. Best wishes to everybody for a Gmarach Sima Toiva, a beautiful, happy Yontif of Sukkos. All of us should be zeicha to understand what we're learning, to appreciate it, and to live it properly. It's a shame. Amen.